Next hour of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
When is the administration going to tell the American people the truth about Benghazi?
Benghazi, Benghazi, Benghazi. Why aren't we talking about something else?
Democrats are all talk and no action.
Fighting for Idaho.
How about the A-10 platform? There's never been a question in my mind that it's going to go away. The question is when.
We're always going to be ready when the governor calls us up and when the president calls on us to go overseas and take care of our nation's wars. We're going to do that too.
Fighting for you.
There's people have an attitude about attorneys already. I have a lot of friends who are attorneys, so my, you know, apologies ahead of time here to my friends who are attorneys out there listening.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning.
Woo!
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning. You know, I know what you're saying, boy. And if you missed our Promote Our School, Secure Our Future from Rolling Hills, a public charter school yesterday. You know, we're getting a lot of kind of not goofy feedback, but Kevin, did you really have to say to the kids and have them repeat, Kevin is the best, or Kevin Miller is the best? Oh, come on! Who wouldn't do that? Anyway, we are talking education here at 580 KIDO. We're joined by Michael Law, Corey Tanner, Parents for Advancing Education, talking about the CUNA levy. What's going on, gentlemen?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us in, Kevin.
So the levy was proposed, then it was shot down, now it's back again. What's up with that?
That's a good question. We voted it, the people voted it down in March, and just 10 days later, the school board decided to put it back on the levy. We had a huge outcry, particularly from teachers and some other parents about it being shot down. They thought it would go over pretty easily, and it did not. And they really wanted it back on, so the board voted to put it back on.
Well, so what are you guys going to do here? What's going on with that?
So, you know, it's been interesting the last several weeks to reach out and listen to what people are saying. I, as a parent, a business owner, moved to CUNA in 2010, and it's interesting to reach out and, you know, dig into some of the reasoning behind what's going on and some of the feelings that are out there. I think one prevailing thought or feeling that that people have felt is that they were misled to begin with. So 2 years ago, the superintendent at the time was Jay Hummel, and he, the day after the levy passed, this levy that we're finishing passed, he said, "Now this is a 2-year levy, but this funding will last us 3 years." And so 19 months later, we're back at the ballots asking for more money. So there's a general feeling of mistrust of the district and how they're appropriating funds. There's just very real concern. How do you give somebody 3 years of cash and 19 months later say, we're out, we need more?
Yeah, and I just want to start off right at the beginning, because I am a school board member, but I am not in any means speaking for the board or even for the school district. I myself have seen a lot of the same problems, a lot of problems with prioritizing, making sure that the classroom is fully funded before we do anything else. That is the most important thing that we can be doing, and we are failing to do that. Some of the problems that I have seen, and it's kind of an accumulative 5 years. Over the course of 5 years, one of the claims that is made by the school district is that the state has cut back spending and shorted us about $9.4 million. However, if we include the way that the school district has been making up in the form of supplemental levies and emergency levies, and even a couple of years of federal stimulus money, we have not only made up that difference, but we are $1.1 million more than the claim of full funding, which is based on 2009-2010 school year. $1.1 million over 5 years And still, we are complaining about not having enough money.
Well, and then you've got the mayor who has joined the folks that want this that levy returned. It seems like double jeopardy. Now, we've had those folks on. They're going to come back again. We've had you guys on. We'll have you back and forth. But really, you know, when the mayor says that he wants this levy because it's good for business, you're a businessman. Tell us why the mayor is wrong.
Well, I don't know the mayor's reasoning saying that it is good for business. I think that fiscal responsibility, I think that transparency, I think that accountability is good overall. They're good principles not only within the largest business in CUNA, but also as we teach our kids sound principles. You know, I look at it, and I sat down with the superintendent for about 3.5 hours in her office, and described to her the fact that she runs the largest business by employees and by revenue effectively in the town. And so with that comes a lot of important responsibility. So for example, you can't run your business inappropriately and think that that's going to have this great halo effect on other businesses in the town. You know, another concern that has come up is you know, there was a budget submitted and approved back in November, and you look at the November budget numbers in expenditures versus the April expenditures, which is, you know, 5-6 months later, and they were already $1.7 million over in their expenditures. Now, district policies indicate that you have to be within a 3-5% threshold within that budget, and that's over 6%. So I think that I don't know the mayor's reasoning for saying that this is good for business. I don't think, you know, I agree with Russ Fulcher, who came out to a town hall meeting, and he said, listen, the answer to education is not more money. You can't just throw money at a problem and hope that it gets better. The answer to education is more responsibility and bringing education back to where it's supposed to be. So I don't know the mayor's you know, reasoning or arguing, saying that it is good for business that we pass a school levy. I think that responsibility and transparency and accountability are all good for business.
We go to the phones, and we go to Amy at 580-KIDO. Good morning, Amy.
Hi, good morning, Kevin. This is Amy. I'd like them to know that there were just not a few parents who wanted this rerun. There was 400-plus signatures and 300 attendees at the board meeting to redo the levy, first of all. The district does have transparency. You can see where everything is going. I have done my homework, and I have done my research. When he proposes to send business to CUNA, of course we need businesses in CUNA. The population has grown 5,000 by 5,000 people since I moved here in 2009. What does he expect us to do with the children that are in those schools at this time if this levy should fail? Is he going to come in and teach them?
So, I agree that the town has grown, that we have more kids. Obviously, we receive a per student funding for education. You know,
extremely low funding.
Yes, you're right. And once again, I return to the comment that money is not the answer to education. So let me give you an example. We are almost at the bottom of the barrel in funding per student funding for education. You're right about that. The state of Utah is even lower than the state of Idaho on a per student basis, and they score better in standardized tests than we do. So you cannot argue saying that more money will equate to higher test scores.
No, you cannot equate money to higher test scores, but you can equate money to better teachers, better supplies, better rooms to fill, and lower class sizes.
And my comment to you is not that it does take money to run an education program. I get that. I am a business owner. I know that it takes funds to run an organization like that. What I'm saying is that a very clear message needs to be sent about how that money is spent. You know, you said that the district is very transparent, and I do take issue with that. I mean, let me just give you a small example. There are credit cards that the district has. Nobody has visibility into what those credit cards are spent on. We simply pay the balance off. And that you can go on to expense reports. You can go on and see. Not even the board has access. Not even the school board has access to see what those credit cards pay for.
Okay. I'm not disputing that this room for a correction. What I'm disputing with you is that this levy should fail. What do you propose to do with those children who have grown tremendously in this district?
I believe that they will continue to grow. I believe that the heroes of this system are the school teachers. They're the ones who make the magic happen in the classroom. And what I am most concerned about is the superintendent's use of fear tactics to drive this message that if the levy doesn't pass, that teachers will get fired, classrooms will be shut down, kids will get dumber. All of the fear-mongering that goes on is irresponsible. I don't think that's true. I just don't think that's true.
No fear tactics on my part. I have done my homework. There has been no fear tactics. I have a young son. He understands a little bit, but I will not make him be fearful of what's going to happen if this does not pass. I don't know any parent in this community that I have worked with that would scare their child to that extent. They're going to make them aware of what possibly could happen, but they're not scaring them.
Well, let me share with you an example. A mother came to me, and her son went to school. He came home, and he said, "Mom, we have to pass this levy." And she said, "Okay, why?" And he said, "Because my music teacher said that if we don't, they're going to cut this program, they're going to cut art." And he's an elementary kid. He's an elementary school kid.
I get that. That's my biggest concern.
And that's the proselytizing that happens within the classroom that should not happen. That's not okay.
I agree with you there, and I have not seen any of that. So this may be one particular situation.
And that's okay. I've heard dozens of experiences.
Remember, children don't come home with the whole truth at times.
You're right, but over and over and over again, I'm the one who hears it. You may not hear it, but I do hear it.
Okay.
All right, Amy, thank you. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. So this is a very emotional issue, Michael.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, this is symptomatic of not only Acuna, but we've seen it in Meridian. We've seen the battle for levies going on and on throughout it. I mean, Meridian, their levy failed the first time. They passed it. Then a couple years later, they passed it again. Are you guys fighting an unwinnable battle?
Oh, absolutely not. In fact, we have proven that just by the fact that we were able to get the word out enough that the levy failed last time. You know, if we're talking about emotions and about those types of things that you know, scare people, how about this? You know, we have 44% of our students, and this is the ones that we know about. 44% of our students on free and reduced lunch, and we're asking for
that's a federal program, though, right?
Yes, it is. But what it shows is that our community is already struggling to provide for the basic needs of our kids. And we have a large farming – I mean, we're a large farming community as well. And those farmers have no way of exempting enough off that they're not going to be seriously hit with the this levy and have to pay a lot of money towards this school levy. And, you know, 44% of our – kids being on free and reduced lunch, those families are already struggling, and we're asking them to pay more and more and more.
Well, those folks might not be owning land. They might be renting, but that's speculation on my part, sir.
And that may be the case, but regardless, even if you're renting, you know, everybody's still paying.
Right. More coming up next, plus your phone calls talking about the CUNA levy. Not really just the CUNA levy, but the battle for how to fund education here in the Gem State continues. If you have a thought, maybe a solution, hey, we'd love to hear from you. 580-5436, 580-5436. Kevin Miller with you here. Let's get you to work safely.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Hello, bonjour, buenos dias, good day, guten tag, konnichiwa, ciao, shalom, dobre dien, hello to all the children of the world, we live in different places.
All right, hidey-ho, Kevin Miller, that's from the Rolling Hills Charter School yesterday. By the way, if you want to win that $1,000, listen up, it happens during this show. That's right, between now and 9 o'clock, your chance to win $1,000. Just be the 25th caller when you hear the cue to call, and you win $1,000, our just way of saying thank you for your great support. That's coming up between now and 9 o'clock here with good old K. Millie in the morning. We're talking to Corey Tanner, Michael Law, Parents for Advancing Education, talking about the CUNA levy and that vote coming up. However, on the other hand, it's more emblematic of what's going on throughout the state and really throughout the country. Funding education. We're seeking your solutions. We go to the phones and we go to Jeff in Boise at 580KIDO. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Great.
So I've been listening to your show this morning, and it seems to me that these boards, these committees, they can't be entrusted with the money that's given to them. They've grossly spent it. So I have the perfect answer for their problem. You have all of these parents screaming about good education for their kids, and where's the money? Well, these people every year, they write their children off, and they get a big tax return for their kids. See if they're willing to donate that tax return. I don't understand why guys like me who are single, who are struggling like everybody else, why my property taxes have to go up to fund a school board. If they can't manage their money, then there's your perfect answer. There's your money. Let the parents donate some of their tax return to fund their kids' schooling. That solves your problem right there. But, you know, if that answer's out of the question, you obviously can't keep giving the school board more money. If they've wasted it once before, they'll waste it again. So there is a perfect answer for their problem. And that's pretty much all I got to say about the matter.
Well, I thank you for that. In fact, that sounds a lot like a suggestion that my wife made, which was that, you know, there's nothing stopping anybody from donating any money that they want to, including those that are for the levy. Even if this levy doesn't pass, they can still figure out how much they would have paid and pay it to the district anyway. And I'm sure, I can guarantee that the school district will happily receive those funds.
You know, let me just weigh in on that comment. I agree with some mismanagement. I agree with some irresponsibility that happens within school districts, and certainly that is the case in CUNA, and I think that we can do a lot better. I think that when we look at it, I also look at it, though, as a businessman, and I have to take a step back and say that regardless, now I do have a 7-year-old, and so, you know, I've got a son who is just beginning his educational journey, and even outside of that, I have to step back, and as a business owner, I have to say, I want an educated workforce. I want an educated society, educated neighbors, citizens. And so where I may not necessarily have all the kids that are in the district come from my family, and therefore I should pay for it. I realize this sounds like a contrarian, you know, argument, but there is value in all sharing and bearing that burden. The extent to which we do that, I think, is at question here.
All right, quickly to Craig in Boise at 580KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning. Hello, Craig.
Good morning, Kevin. I live in the Boise School District, and we had this $15 million bond passed several years ago, and there was a lot of proselytizing, even in orchestra concerts. And the one thing I never hear about, and that I keep hearing, we need more money, we need more money, and if you go into schools, you have to ask yourself, who's auditing anything? Who's going around saying, gee, what do we need, and where can we save costs to put the money into the classrooms? I never hear that. All I hear is we need more money, or all our children are going to be stupid and inbred, and we're not going to be able to get anything, and all the old people are going to die because the young kids are not going to get jobs. and there's so much fear-mongering that I really never hear anybody seriously talking about the boring details of auditing.
Yeah.
That never happens, Kevin. That never happens. All it is this emotional appeal. It's for the children. It's not said, but it's implied, and it's happening for years and years. And honestly, I don't want to give the schools anything. I don't want to give government any money until they start paying attention to what they're doing and auditing their own procedures.
Greg, great point. Thank you for the call.
I can tell you that we do have audits, but the audits basically tell us that we have taken in this amount of money, and we have spent this amount of money, and we are not in jeopardy of going, you know, spending too much money, that sort of thing. But as far as the justification, the academic justification of how the money is being spent, we certainly do not have that. We definitely need to have more justification of where the money is being spent.
We go to Doug in CUNA at 580 KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning. Hello, Doug.
Good morning. Hey, I lived in CUNA most of my life. You know, grew up there, went to schools there, and I spent most of my whole life in the Treasure Valley. And anytime you hear the schools start saying, "Oh, we, you know, we're going to have budget shortfalls," or you know, "We're not bringing in enough money. We're going to have to start laying off teachers, or we're going to have to start laying off janitors or bus drivers," you never hear them say that we're going to start laying off administrators. That'll never happen. And when I was, when my kids were in school, we helped start the charter school out in CUNA. And the charter school, they had to account for every penny that they spent and how it was spent. And the larger public schools, maybe they need to go back to that and, you know, have fewer administrators and start accounting for every penny that they spend and why they're spending it. Not just keep coming back saying, "Oh, well, we need more money, we need more money, we need more money."
Doug, great point. Thank you for the call. Gentlemen, to be continued, we appreciate it. Anything you would like to share to the listening audience here?
You know, I just would, just in response to Doug, I would just say, you know, that goes back to sort of the fear tactics that have taken place in CUNA. I sat down and spoke at length about this with the superintendent, Wendy Johnson, and, you know, she, in a separate conversation, was asked point blank, "Why do you use manipulating fear tactics to towards your organization?" And her response was, "Well, what else am I supposed to do?" Well, I can think of a lot of things that you could do instead of instill fear in everyone. You could lead responsibly, you know, you could lead everybody and tell everybody that we need to make important decisive decisions, that we can be responsible with the funds that are entrusted to us currently, that we can be laser focused in what education is all about. I think that education has grown significantly in its purpose. You know, we find education that now, you know, they're responsible to feed our kids, clothe our kids, entertain our kids, babysit our kids, in addition to educate our kids. And I don't think that education needs to cover all of those bases. I think that we need to get return to the purpose of education at its core, and in so doing, I think that we can. I think that there is a lot of waste that goes on. There's a lot of opportunity. And in this entire argument, I have not heard of one suggestion from the district office of ways that we can be more effective.
All right. To be continued, you're listening to 580 KIDO.
The Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. We're joined by our friend Christy Stearns with a very important fundraiser for a young man who has an incredible challenge. Christy, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
Well, thank you for joining us, and happy early Mother's Day to you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Well, let's talk a little bit about a young man by the name of Brady and what folks can do to help him out.
So, Kevin, we have a grassroots fundraiser on Sunday, May 18th. So not this weekend, but next weekend. And it's for a little boy who's 9 years old. He's actually a classmate of my son's in Meridian. And he was diagnosed on April 2nd with a really aggressive type of bone cancer. And unfortunately, it's already started to move very quickly. And this family really needs some help. So we've got an event at Geno's on May 18th. Geno's is normally closed on Sundays, but he's actually opening up the restaurant just for this event. And his staff is donating their time. We've got a flood of donations, but we need to get people there so we can raise some money for this family.
Well, Christy, I know that you're always involved in helping folks. And how is the family doing?
You know, I try not to bug them too much because I can't even imagine about how overwhelming this is. I do know that the father has had to close down his own business in order to spend time with him, and the mother has had to take leave. So, you know, I can't even, as a mom, it's really, I get it because I've got kids, and but I don't understand how it would be to go through something like that, and that's why I'm really doing everything I can, and I'm so passionate about making this a success. Right now, our goal is just to, you know, raise money. Of course, they're going to need help with medical bills and, you know, everything else that goes along with that.
How is Brady doing as far as his spirit?
You know, I don't know, Kevin. Health-wise, he's not doing too well. The cancer continues to move throughout his body, and it's just his condition is deteriorating, and it's not. It's a very sad story. And right now, our focus, like I said, is just, you know, our focus to begin with was to help his family, but now even more, they need our help, you know, as much as our community can give to them.
Well, Christy, let's talk a little bit then on what we do know, the fundraiser at Geno's. A week from Sunday, I know that you've been working very hard with a lot of folks in the Treasure Valley to get some items that will allow people to help the family.
Yeah, we've got quite a few live auction items, Kevin. You know, I'm the kind of person where I figure you don't know if you don't ask. And so I just started, you know, doing a barrage of emails, and we have a team that's working with us that has been doing the same. You know, we have packages from Jackson Hole, Wyoming, with lodging, fly fishing, dinner at the Four Seasons Resort. Everything's been donated. We have Seattle packages with Mariners tickets and fine dining, lodging. We have a Sun Valley package. And then we've got a lot of local restaurants like Bella Aquila and Eagle, the Hilton Garden Inn that donated, head-to-toe massage. It's just great to see the community come together. So we have awesome auction items, you know, that hopefully we can use to raise as much money as possible.
And Christy, this is Geno's next Sunday. Could you tell us again what time it starts? And is there any way, Facebook or anywhere people can go to get information if they're in their cars right now?
Most definitely. It's Sunday, May 18th from 6 to 9 p.m. Geno's is located at the corner of 10 Mile, McMillan, and Eagle, or excuse me, in Meridian. And the tickets are $50. 100% of the proceeds do go to the family. And we do have a Facebook page. You do not have to be on Facebook to go to the link. So you would go to www.facebook.com/helpbradybeatcancer. Or you can search it, Kevin. You can just put Benefit for Brady in Facebook. Either way, it'll get you to the page. Then we have a link to the fundraising website where you can purchase tickets or make a donation.
Well, Christy, we'll hear more from you guys next week, and we're encouraging people to do that. And I will link that to our Facebook as well, and hopefully we can help out the family.
Well, we appreciate you having me on.
All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right. There we have it, the Benefit for Brady here. Kevin Miller at 580-KIDO. Quickly, we go to Tom Munns, TomMunns.com. Good morning, Tom Munns.
Now, how am I going to go on my topic after that? That's going to be rough.
It is.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, sir.
Hey, I wanted to chat about the education. I had a couple of thoughts on that. I appreciated them for being on. I think a lot of the problem that we're facing is that most of the teachers and people in the school boards really don't have any idea of the constitutional nature of their job and the, any idea of limitations. And the other thing was is that should we be allowed to have multiple levy votes? I mean, should we have multiple presidential elections, multiple legislative? It just seems a little bit strange. So what I came up with is a couple of ideas to help reduce the animosity. As you know, I've been kind of challenging the public school issue. One of them is to reduce the animosity by declaring the bottom line for each school district. They need to come out and they need to declare what their bottom line is. The other thing that they need to do is they need to declare a list of funding from every entity that gives to them, whether it's the lottery, the taxes, the federal government, the state government, you know, the dairy industry, you know, whoever else it is, and to give full disclosure. The other one is to denounce the federal involvement in education, not only through funding, but the indoctrination and going back to the proper role of school, which is reading, writing, and arithmetic. You know, and this whole Common Core issue and the rest of it.
So you have a solution. That's good.
Yeah, well, what we need to do is to have the school district help us fight the misappropriation of tax dollars. What is wrong with the school unifying with those that are challenging the school district? Because what's clear to understand is that it's not – I don't hate the school. I don't hate the teachers. I hate the system that they're involved in because it inevitably pins the parent against the teacher, and it's a bad system. If we could fight the misappropriation knowing – that going back to the proper role of government would knock out 80% of our continually created bureaucracies, I'm sure that there would be more than enough money for the teachers, for pens, for glue, and even for their retirement.
And you heard it here first, Tom Munz. Thank you for the call. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning. Coming up, we'll speak with our friend Betsy Davies about the 12th annual Meridian Chamber of Commerce golf event. Quickly, though, to Pat in Middleton at 580 KIDO, who wants to talk about moms.
Yes, and actually it's a little bit about what the lady earlier was talking about, her that she's doing a fundraiser for. So, you know, my son was medically fragile from birth, and my mom was a help during all that time. When he was first born, we didn't know all the problems, and she was a nurse, and I consulted with her. I lived in Palm Springs at the time, and she was in Twin Falls, and I'd call her regular to get advice and seek help because we really weren't getting a lot of information and help, and so she was very calming benefit to me and my wife for questions we had about our son's medical needs. And a year into his life, after his heart surgery, open heart surgery, we had some club foot surgery, and there were a lot of complications that arose. And my mom, who was in her, in her 70s, I think at that time, drove all the way down from Twin Falls. This is over the holidays, and I was spending almost every day and every night at my son's bedside in the hospital. And so my mom drove down. It was Christmas time, and she drove down to spend the night with my son so I could be with my kids and my family for Christmas. And she did that just for that one day, and then 2 days later drove home. And that was such a relief to know that my son was being watched over by a family member so that I could spend that precious time with my children. I had some young children at home, and it was helpful. But my mom, she died a year before my son did. But on her deathbed, my mom had a special bond with my son. And she couldn't move. She had a neurological disease that kept her from moving. So we were all gathered around, and my son loved my mom. I mean, every time he saw her, anyone that looked like her, he would just reach out and grab them. And so she loved my mom. He loved my mom, and we were leaning over, and he reached out to grab her. My mom couldn't move a muscle, but at the bottom of her bed, her toes were wiggling. She was moving her feet with joy. And my son was just loving on her. And he died a year after she did. And so I know they're both comforting each other in heaven. And I'll pray for these families. This family's going through this because time, he's doing the right thing, going to spend time with his son, because you don't know how much you have left with your children, and it's not supposed to be that way. But I love you, Kevin, for letting me do this, and everybody else. But you know what? God has special children in our lives, and we need to pay attention to who they are and take joy and pride and enjoy their time, because they benefited my life greatly. He changed me, made me a better man, and so did my mom. That's all I got to say.
We love you, Pat.
Thanks.
All right.
Have a good day.
You too, and we'll see Pat from Middleton at Greenleaf Academy coming up on Thursday. Thank you, Pat, for that story. Thank you, Pat. 51 degrees right now in Meridian. Let's take a look at traffic at 580. And Kevin Miller here at 580 KIDO. Quickly to Tea Party Bob. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin. Interesting conversations you're having here this morning, especially with Ms. Kay. I just wanted to, first and foremost, wish your wife, Dorothy, a happy Mother's Day. And you make sure you take her out for dinner, because she certainly deserves it. Are you there?
You know, I'm just listening. We don't have a lot of time. Would you like to call back?
Yes, I will.
You see, you used up all your time talking about Miss Kay and Miss Dorothy. Ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, nobody has to do that.
Ha, ha! Coming up next, we'll tease Tea Party Bob.
I'll be back.
Thank you, sir. All right, more with our great friend Tea Party Bob. Heck, I probably should have just held on. All right. Good morning.